I'd like to turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127 will be our text we're looking at this morning. Thank you for leading that song, Dave, about lofty mountain grandeur. So we have that in our area with the beauty, this time of year especially. Thanks for visiting with us if you are today. I'm 63, and you know I've worked all my life, like almost everyone in here. And I'm going to talk today about labor, about work, all kinds of work, and about labor that sometimes doesn't yield much. And that's not me that's going to talk about that as much as it is. We're going to look at what Solomon said. We all know Solomon wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, but he's credited with a psalm. It's this one that we've opened to just now, Psalm 127. And we've heard the phrase, the metaphor about climbing the ladder of success. And I remember where it was, you probably heard this same thing too. You want to make sure if you use all this effort and energy to climb, that the ladder is not leaning against the wrong wall when you get to the top of it. And that's my own take on what Solomon is saying, I believe, in Psalm 127. And I remember when I first read this psalm, it stood out a little bit from some of the other psalms written mostly by David. He gets credit for most of those because of its practicality, just like when Solomon wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. There's a lot of things in life that most people desire. And there's six different things we're just going to look at briefly. We could talk a lot about, but as we look at some of the things that I believe Solomon is talking about in this particular psalm, things like a good family life, all of us. It's good if you take your notes out when you come up here to preach. You can tell I'm a novice at this here, so bear with me. Everyone wants a good family life. Everyone likes security. All of us appreciate safety and security. All of us want to be successful in whatever our endeavors are, outside the home or inside the home. If ever our nation gets involved in conflicts with other nations, we want to be successful in that realm also. And in spiritual aspects, we want to make sure that our worship is pleasing to God. And also a spiritual aspect, we want to be part of a church that flourishes and that grows. All of these things are things that all of us spend a lot of time and energy, you know, trying to obtain. But our effort alone, I believe Solomon is saying, won't ensure that we're going to obtain these things. And we'll consider what's written here in this particular psalm. The first two verses, unless the Lord, my emphasis, I think, if Solomon were here, he'd want it read that way, builds the house. They labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Transliteration of even in his sleep. And the key word here, I believe, is repeated three different times. You know, Solomon's theme here is that human enterprise, no matter how hard, you know, how much effort you put into it, it's only going to succeed if you have God's blessing. Not all labor is going to be successful in any of these areas. And there's a lot of examples provided in this psalm right here, and that's what we're going to look at as we look at these different areas. The first one, really, is a good family life. You know, it's a blessing to be part of a large family. All of us are aware of that. I'm involved in a job right now. a retirement job involving renting cars. And on the weekends in this area, we have so many folks come into this area, and it's family related. Weddings, we know it's a destination now for weddings. And it's a blessing to see the excitement of these people as they come and get their vehicles and the excitement of being part of a large family. There's nothing wrong with desiring that, I don't believe. Although, let me see. This is the next verses in our psalm. Children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They'll not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. It is truly a blessing. And the word house is used here, and it could refer to the temple, but the content in verses 1 and 2, it suggests that it does refer to the home and the family. And I was saying a moment ago, it's never to imply that a small family or not having a family is, this thing works really well here. Yet I wish Paul, the context of this, 1 Corinthians 7:7, is Paul talking about marriage, of course, and it's better to marry than to burn is the verse after this one. But he makes a point about it's understandable if you don't marry. I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and then another. And another place is later on in that same verse. And the context here is referring to when people are becoming Christians back in those times, but it still stands today too. One who's unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but the one who's married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The woman who's unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. The one who's married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. Just to balance that thought about the blessings of marriage. But without God's involvement in a family, how can the effort come to anything but naught? It's so important that we constantly pursue God's blessings on our effort, is what I believe Solomon is saying, that there has to be that balance. And it's passages like this one that Jesus said, he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It actually is ironic, it seems, that the emphasis to have a blessed family of God means that it's secondary. The primary pursuit that every man should have is to be God's child first and foremost. And also verse 22 and 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Last week, Brother Drum was here and preached on short notice. Great lesson. And the point he made about being with his coworkers was that he just wanted to be an example to them of someone who loved God above all else. And let the word of God be the seed that would do its work in the co-workers around him. It's the same thing with our families. We know that as long as the people closest to us, our spouses and our family members, see a love of God beyond any, it's the greatest thing of greatest importance, is how the family is going to be blessed of God. Let's look at the next one. Protection from violence. You know, the reason cities have walls and the reason there's watchmen on the walls in Bible times is for its protection, for the protection. And part of providing for our family, 1 Timothy 5:8 would say, would be protection, locking the doors and simply safe or whatever those things are that they're trying to sell. Very wise to take care of the physical things that are around us. However, true security provides, means God's protection. You know, though it's wonderful to have those things of God, those physical things. Psalm 121, turn six psalms back, and we're going to read this because it's the finest example, I believe, of God's perspective on where our true security comes from. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Verse 2 specifically of Psalm 121 appeals to your logic, if nothing else. Your help comes from the Lord because he made heaven and earth. We can't be secure if the one who created us is not who we rely upon for our security. And he'll protect you from all evil, verse 7 says. He'll keep your soul. Verse 8 says he'll guard your going out and your coming in. So all evil, all the time, I believe, is what's trying to be said in verses 7 and 8. We can trust our security to the Lord. And it's wonderful to provide labor to try to look for our security in this world, but it's vain if we think that without God's help we'll be secure. Our work. You know, God would have us to work with our hands. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. Lead a quiet life, attend to our business, just as we commanded you, for the main reason, so that we behave properly towards outsiders. One reference to work. And then he taught the Ephesians, or wrote in his letter to Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, that one of the reasons we work is that we're able to share with those that are less fortunate than ourselves. And our purpose for work is stated in that second verse. And how to work, really, is stated in that first verse. So we're taught the importance of our work. But true success in our work has to have God's favor upon it. And we'll look at this verse again about the vanity of working so hard to climb that ladder of success. And the vanity of it is what Solomon would say. Solomon also wrote in Ecclesiastes, for to a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while to the sinner he's given the task of gathering and collecting so that he may give to one who is good in God's sight. This too is vanity. You know, you're providing for someone else, basically. You're gathering and collecting, basically, for someone else if you don't have God and God's blessing upon your efforts. And a simple way that Jesus put it, similar to our family and similar to all things in our life, if we don't put him first and trust that he'll add to us the things that we need. These are practical things, and it's things that are the struggles of life, and I have them just like all of you do. But Solomon cuts through to the chase, as the Lord does. If we want to succeed in business or profession, and really enjoy the fruits of our labor, we have to succeed with the Lord first, or else the labor is in vain. And how else is this psalm applied? Victory in our war. You know, I've not lived through a time of great warfare in our country, but it could happen. It could happen to my children or grandchildren, I believe. And all of us, if we're attacked by an evil aggressor, you know, the reason we have armies and the reason we have weapons, it's to defend ourselves. But victory doesn't depend on might alone, and we know from so many places in the Old Testament. But here again is Solomon's simple simple teaching upon it. Proverbs 21:23, the horse is prepared for the day of battle. Victory belongs to the Lord. It's a simple statement, but it indicates that however much you want to prepare and however much you want to do, if you don't look to the Lord for the victory, it's vain, basically. It's a labor that could just fail, basically. And another place in Psalm 33 and 16 and 17, the king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. And just continuing that same psalm, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He's our help and our shield, for our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you. That's the theme of this lesson, essentially, is an attitude of saying, let your blessing please be upon us as we endeavor in all the various things that we do in this world. And another direction is our spiritual direction, and that's our worship, that our worship is pleasing to God. And there's clear teaching of Jesus when he met the Samaritan woman. He said, an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. And it's our duty as his followers to proclaim his praises. 1 Peter 2:9, that we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, so that we may proclaim his praises or his excellencies. But not all worship, clearly the scriptures teach, is acceptable to God. And we'll go back to Solomon talking about a sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. The relationship, the right relationship that one must have with the Lord is what makes the worship acceptable to God. And Jesus taught the same thing in Matthew 15 and verse 9. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the precepts of men. How significant it is that we cling closely to the things that God says about worship that's acceptable to him. If not, just like the other things we've looked at, if it fails to please and glorify God, it's vain. It's vanity. What about our church growing and flourishing? We're encouraged in so many places. Paul taught in Corinthians 15 to labor for the Lord. And it's not in vain. One of the most encouraging passages that we can look at is knowing that the efforts that we put forth are not in vain. And another encouraging fact is that the Lord will not forget. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name and having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. It seems, as Rick was saying in his class this morning, our job is, our effort needs to be put forth to work for the Lord. It's not in vain, and the Lord will not forget it, even though we may not see the fruit of our labors initially. But how do we look at this same thought in regards to not being vain in our efforts? Understand that the increase doesn't come from us. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth, so that neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. And he's the source of anything. He makes us adequate. It's not of our benefit. Again, thinking about Brother Drum from last week, he made that point over and over again, how we've got to remember that it's not of us that the fruit comes. We're influenced, but it's not from us that the seed is going to be planted. And it's a point of like working as though it does depend on us, even though it depends on God, for it truly does. Our efforts here, we should work hard to seek out a new preacher to serve us here and to be in our midst. But I believe it's going to be the Lord that'll increase us in that way. As we strive in all these areas, here's some questions to conclude with. Do we look to God and depend on God to build our families? That's not true for young families only. At my age with children and grandchildren, the things they see in me. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was a young dad and had a young, Michael was 4 or 5 years old, only had one child at the time. And we had a tiny TV in the basement, and the Charlotte Hornets had just started playing in Charlotte. And, I had the antennas, you had to move to get the signal to come in. And I remember watching, and it was exciting. We had the NBA, not far away. And they were terrible, I think, the team was. But I remember getting so excited seeing some play happen. And I was like, yeah! And I looked down, and Mike looked up at me, little bum, and he goes, yeah! There's nothing wrong with athletic sports, but I realized what God's entrusted me with in terms of influence, and all of us in terms of influence, and he didn't articulate this, but he said, that's important, evidently, because my dad's excited about that. Do our people around us see that excitement about the Lord and not about things of this world? Will we look to God to deliver us from evil? And the book of Psalms and so many other places are the greatest inspiration. I'm realizing that clock's not moving. Just one moment here. We're doing fine. Okay. Will we look to God to deliver us from evil? One other thing, I remember years ago, Ralph Walker gave me a little book. It was just the Psalms. And I think he was new internationally. He liked the way the Psalms are treated in that particular book. And that's the greatest place to go to understand that our security is from I think, as a source. Will we look to God to bless our work? That's one of the greatest challenges, I think, because I know in my case, it seems as though I'll find the solutions if I can make enough money, right? And have this and have that, and how untrue that is. Our true blessings come when we depend on Him and know that He'll give the increase to us and be faithful in that way. Will we look to God to be our shield and protector? I'm interested in the things that happen nationally and such, and we all should be, and hope and pray for our nation to seek after God in because He does work in the affairs of men and in nations, as we know from the spiritual principles in the Old Testament. Will we look to God to guide our worship of Him? And the clicker says we need to look at that last point too. Will we need to look to God to give us the increase in His vineyard, the church? And a couple of concluding passages here. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Vain for you to rise up early, retire late, the bread of painful labors, for He gives to His beloved, even in his sleep. I like that transliteration. And one other place, is Moses' prayer. It's actually in Psalm 90, and it's the concluding thought. And he says, similar to some other things we've read earlier, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Another version says, establish for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm, establish the work of our hands. Are you looking to God to establish you in all of your work? If you don't know the Lord, you could become one of his beloved. He'll give to you even in your sleep. Or something Rick said in his class today was the mustard seed grows into a huge tree. You have the security, like the birds do, of nesting in its leaves. If you're not a Christian, this is a time, any time is good, but now is an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord and to confess his name before others and be baptized into him for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you are so of that mind, or even if you have other things to bring before the church, let's do so now as we stand and sing.